Pull up a chair, make yourselves comfy, and let's talk guitars. Hi, this is Cams, and welcome to another episode of Acoustic Guitar I.O. In September 2018, I headed down to Halifax to attend the annual gathering of the acousticsoundboard.co.uk Guitar Forum. This was the 9th annual gathering, and it was the first one I had ever attended. I had an absolutely wonderful time, and while I was there, I had the chance to sit down with the founder of the gathering, Martin Robertson. So without any further ado, let's talk to Martin. Comfy?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I'm supposed to say Hamilton, aren't I, when you say that question?
Are you?
Comfy. I say Hamilton.
I've never heard that before. So we're sitting here today in our wonderful hotel room in Halifax.
Yeah.
Sitting here with Martin, one of the founders of the Acoustic Soundboard Forum and of this particular gathering. Welcome to the show, yeah. Martin.
Thank you.
So, where'd you come from?
I live in Hamilton, just outside Glasgow.
Right. And this is the 9th gathering, I believe.
Yes.
The 9th.
Yeah, it's the 9th time we've had this.
So it's been running for 9 consecutive years.
Yes.
That's excellent. Fantastic. Yeah,
that's been good.
And how did it begin?
The whole thing started because we had a forum where we all kind of met virtually and started talking about guitars. And this must have happened about 10, 11 years ago. And someone had the bright idea of all meeting up. A few of them had met locally and played some guitars and played some songs. And they thought, why not have this thing on a national level and get everyone in the forum together? Mm-hmm. And it just developed from there. One of the guys who was supposed to be organising it kind of gave up. I thought it was beyond them, there was too much to do. So stupidly I volunteered to take up the reins. And it just that's how it happened. I contacted the hotel we'd identified in Hebden Bridge. We looked at the sort of most central location for all the members. And that was it. I think the first gathering we had about a dozen people.
Right.
In a hotel called the White Lion in Hebden Bridge. And it was so good that as soon as we got back, we immediately organised next year's.
Excellent.
And it's grown and grown from there. Now we've moved to Halifax into a bigger hotel. And we've got about 40 people attending there.
Wow. And so it's been in Halifax now for 3 years, is that right?
No, it's actually been in Halifax for the last 7 meetings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. We outgrew Hebden Bridge after the second one. And there were no bigger hotels with function rooms that we thought were suitable.
Aye.
So we just looked for somewhere nearby that had facilities. And we found a place called the Wool Merchant in Halifax. And it was a great hotel for a few years. And then they did away with their function area.
Alright.
So we ended up looking for somewhere else. Unfortunately, this place had a fantastic function suite.
Well, it's a great location, and for me, it's not too hard to get to compared to some of the other gathering I go to is the RMMGA gathering.
Mm-hmm.
That's now in its 21st year, and they now meet down in the Cotswolds, Morton and Marsh. So it's for wee Scots.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a longer journey.
Yeah.
But Halifax, I love Yorkshire. Absolutely love Yorkshire. But it's a spin-off of the acousticsoundboard.co.uk Guitar Forum.
Yes.
That's where most of the participants meet for the first time. How did that come about?
Well, that came about through a magazine called Acoustic, which I think has now stopped publishing, I should say. And the first I came to know of it was in 2007, I think. And I went to see a songwriter called Julie Ellison, and she happened to mention during the chat at the end that she wrote for a magazine called Acoustic.
Uh-huh.
So I picked it up and realised they had a forum. So I quickly joined to see what was happening and asked people questions about guitars. And it grew from there. More and more people started joining. And I think with the activity that myself and others put into it, I started seeing it being a lively place to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And it grew from there. It was called Acoustic Life because it was attached to the magazine.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, they decided to move their online presence to Facebook, and they closed the forum down.
Right.
We knew that something was happening, because it was getting unreliable, we couldn't access it, it was slow. So I'd set up a backup forum where we could go if it was, I think we were able to access it or it was closed or anything like that. And once the Acoustic Life forum actually closed, and it closed without any notice at all.
Right.
Myself and a few others had to sort of send out the alarm bells and make sure that everyone who we had on the forum previously knew where to go. And we all went to the new place.
Okay.
And it grew from there. And when we realised that the magazine was going to be not involved at all, we decided to have it independent and renamed it.
Right.
And it's just grown and grown since. It's been really successful.
So when would that have been? About 2006?
Well, no, I think the first one was 2007. That's when we started Acoustic Life. So probably in about 2013, 2014, round about then, we moved.
Ah,
so I think the forum's been going about five years.
I thought it was a bit older than that.
Yeah, so in total I think we've been together as a community for about 11 years.
Right. I remember Acoustic Life vaguely. I would have been still in Luxembourg then.
Mm-hmm.
I ran my own forum back then, Celtic Guitar Talk.
Right.
And I was a member of the Acoustic Forum, the UK, the US based one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the AGF, which you probably know,
yes,
Acoustic Guitar Forum. I can't remember how I stumbled on the soundboard. I wish I could remember, but it's gone from my head.
A lot of people find it in searches. We keep a lot of the forum public, some of it private. And we've got a lot of really interesting things like luthier interviews and things. So a lot of people have found it through researching and Googling guitars or things like that.
Well, one of the things I love about it is that it's UK based, which any other forum I've been on tends to be US based, or US centric anyway, because that's where a lot of the acoustic guitar aficionados are.
Well, there are far more, certainly, proportionally and numerically over there, that play acoustic guitar and are enthusiastic about it, but I like our forum because it tends to be a friendlier, less serious place. I mean, there's a lot of interesting opinions placed on there, a lot of very, very intelligent people who know a lot about guitars, but there's a place for light-hearted fun as well, and that's what we think is the heart of it, really. We think at its core it's to entertain and to meet and to socialise with a common interest.
Well, that's certainly the vibe I've had from this gathering. This is my first one, so I'm an HB virgin, as it were, and I've had an absolutely wonderful time.
Well, that's great.
When I got in, you know what it's like when you go to something you've never been to. Mm-hmm. You're not quite sure, you don't know anybody. But I think, when I met you briefly just before we came down, when we did the handover of Anthea.
Yes.
So I knew your face, but I've spoken on the forum to a lot of the members. And obviously there's a lot more video content around nowadays. So you get a feel for how people are in real life when you get to see videos of them playing and stuff. But I've absolutely loved it. It's been wonderful, and I'm quite sure it won't be my last one. I was really impressed with the amount of information there was, how much work you had done behind the scenes to make it easy for first-timers and for regulars to find out where it was, what was happening, how to get here, all that kind of thing. Taking care of the bookings, the list of people. It was just so well done. So
hats
off to you for that.
Well, that's something we thought. We want to make it easy for people to actually come along. We don't want there to be hurdles in the way, because we want as many of our members to arrive as possible. Now that we have the facility for a lot more people with a bigger function area, the more the merrier. I mean, it's great to have intimate groups, of course it is, but it's not going to grow to the hundreds. So the way it is just now, I think it's fantastic that new members can come along, feel welcome immediately. And the amount of returning new members we have is incredible. That they've been once or twice and they think, yeah, this is for me. It's a like-minded group of people, and it's just had a great time.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
It is. It's a very similar vibe to the RMMGA gatherings. I've been to maybe six or seven of them. So now when I go along, it's very much a reunion. People you haven't seen since the last one. And I feel like this is going to be the same kind of thing. So I'm very confident that this will not be my last one.
That's good to hear.
How do you manage to get the luthiers involved? Is that just through the forum as well?
That's an interesting one. We don't actively seek out luthiers to become involved. The luthier, Dave White, was there pretty much at the start. He was one of the guys who was around when we first had the forum active. possibly his presence and his posts have encouraged other luthiers who are using the internet to find us.
Aye.
But also people who are members are in contact with luthiers because they're guitar enthusiasts, so they're asking for guitars to be built or modified or repaired, and they mention it, they're enthusiastic, they enjoy the forum, so they tell them, and some of these guys just come on. One of the first ones that we had apart from Dave was Rory Dowling, Italian Guitars, and he came on and offered a road trip of one of his guitars, didn't know anyone,
right,
but offered to send it around the country just to get it tested on our forum, which I thought was fantastic. So he had me, someone else who was a member, and then he passed it to Martin Simpson.
Huh.
And it's incredible that, you know, he didn't really care who was involved. Okay, he liked the famous musicians, but yeah, he just wanted opinions from everyone.
Aye.
So that's the kind of luthiers we get, and that's how we get them. And I think they enjoy it because they get feedback and opinions, and they get some business as well.
Oh, well, sure.
Yeah.
Rory made a customer out of you, didn't he?
He did, yes. I've been a customer of his twice now, and I know another four of members, I think on his fourth Taran guitar.
Wow.
And we've got other great luthiers on there, like Rosie from Turnstone Guitars. She's been here twice now and makes fantastic instruments, and gave a talk last year.
Right.
As did a few other luthiers, like Adrian Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been very lucky.
Yeah. Well, I'm a good friend of Adrian's. Same thing happened with me. And I met Adrian at a gathering and became a customer.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought back I bought it 2 years ago.
Right.
And I brought my Pavilion back to this gathering, and Adrian was delighted to see it again, just to see how it had bedded in and have a go on it. And it's wonderful for us to have the chance to talk to the guys that build the instruments that we love to play. The connection is, you can't get anything like that really in any other industry, I don't think. I mean, can you imagine going to a car manufacturing thing and meeting somebody that's building cars? Maybe you could, I don't know. Maybe you could, but when we are guitar fans, these guys are building them, so it's a perfect match.
Mm-hmm.
You get to sit down and talk to them about their craft, and they get to share information with each other as well. It's one of the things I love about the luthiery community, is that there's no guarded secrets, at least.
No, I was talking to one of the other luthiers here this year, Colin Simons, and Colin makes a guitar and gives it away each year at our gathering. This year for charity, most years for charity, and I was asking the same question, and he freely admits that he collaborates with other luthiers and thinks that sharing information is the way to go.
Yes.
Doesn't want to keep any secrets, because at the end of the day we're all looking to improve the craft and what we can get out of it, and that's the way he feels.
Yeah,
and that's great.
I had a chat with Colin, and he was talking about the guitar that he built, and I was asking him why he does it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said because it gives him an opportunity to build something that he wants to build. He's not looking to please any customer. He can try new things. And he's very happy to do it because it's a learning experience for him as well. But that kind of generosity is quite overwhelming.
It really is. We've been blown away. He's done it a few years now. And I know he gets a lot out of it personally, but we just feel so honoured that he's chosen our group to do this with. And the members can't believe it either. I mean, the winner this year was just gobsmacked. I think he was lost for words.
I think he was too. Aye. And the format of this event is very informal and loose, but it seems to... Last night we had the Circle of Death, which was... Well, explain to the listeners for the Circle of Death.
Yeah. Again, originated in the first meeting. There was nothing planned. But the way the room was set up, the seats were all around the edges of the room, and someone suggested we have a sing around, and it was unplanned, no one was prepared, and the fear was obvious going around the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the expression was coined the Circle of Death, because failure was not an option. And it was more than fun, because obviously we don't place any emphasis on skill or ability. Great, I mean, there's a lot of talented musicians, but anyone's invited to play, no matter how good, no matter the standard. So it's kind of a playful kind of hint at, yeah, this is really scary, but it shouldn't be, and it isn't in our company. So that's where it came about. It's stuck because people find it amusing.
Right.
But we've tried to soften it a little bit by saying, look, don't worry about it, have a go, or don't. It's up to you. And it's a sing around. That's all it is. It was impromptu. Now, yeah, people turn up prepared with a lot of songs and they're very good.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still encouraging you guys to have a go that maybe haven't performed in public before. And it's a really good opportunity for them.
So there are quite often a few performing cherries popped at the Circle of Death.
I mean, the new members of Healy's, just certainly, including your good self, weren't performing virgins, if you like. But there was one guy, Brian, who's been here quite a few times and has never performed. And I believe he did so last night.
Right.
For the first ever time.
Excellent.
And it took a lot of guts.
Aye.
He always swore he wouldn't ever do anything in public like that. So, wonderful.
Well, one of the songs that I enjoyed the most before I crashed, I didn't stay till the end either, was Keith Chesterton, and he played a song about the spiritual gathering that,
yeah,
that we have here. Distance is, makes no difference.
That's right.
Which I managed to record today, so I will will share it with the listeners. But as he was singing that, I could feel the hair standing up. There are very few places on this earth where you can sit down in a company of people and feel so welcome and so... That spirituality, that's the word I would use to describe it. I can really feel that sense of just openness, you know, that's so rare in this society where we live now. I loved that about it. I really enjoyed it. And some of the talent, some of the performances, I mean, they were wide and varied.
They were.
We had some serious songs, we had some funny songs, we had some tear-jerking songs, we had... You mentioned it, we had it, and it was a great privilege to be a part of that.
Great.
Another feature of the gatherings is the plucky duck. Is it the plucky dip?
Well, yeah, that's where the confusion comes about. We have a section on our forum called the Plucky Duck,
right,
which is our virtual pub,
uh-huh,
where people can post performances for critical acclaim or encouragement or whatever.
Right.
What we have here is called the Plucky Dip. It was things suggested by a member of ours, Mark Thompson, who used to come to these meetings. And it's a random selection of members thrown together to prepare a performance,
right,
which they then give on the night, which would be the Saturday night of the weekend. And it's been really successful. Some people don't enjoy it and they don't take part. And that's absolutely fine.
Right.
It's not mandatory. But yeah, it's wonderful. And we try and make sure, even though it's a random draw, we try and make sure that people are with different people each year as much as we can,
mm-hmm,
to encourage that interaction and meeting other people, talking to members they maybe wouldn't normally talk to so much, and rehearse with them and perform something, you know.
Rehearse?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, the rehearsals are sometimes virtual.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're given notice. It's not just thrown at them on the night,
right,
do something. And there's usually a couple of months' notice. Obviously, these are going to be the groups. There's going to be six groups of three or four people each.
Aye.
There might be a theme, there might not be. But you do something.
Mm-hmm.
Choose something that you think you want to do or might amuse the group. And they do. And they've come up with great stuff. And it's often funny. It's always a decent standard, even though some teams don't rehearse at all.
That was my team.
But yeah, I didn't notice.
Right, thanks.
But it's great. It's a great feature that we've got.
Aye. And you came out with a kilt on, didn't you?
Yes. I joined the group at a late stage that I was playing with, and they told me they were doing a song about a drunken Scotsman in his kilt.
Uh-huh.
I thought, well, they're doing a song about me, I might as well dress for the part.
It was good fun. It's great to see the bonding that takes place over these kind of events. The RMMGA gatherings do the Plucky Dip as well.
Ah.
And this year I had the fortune of being drawn to play with Gordon Giltrap.
Wow, that is lucky.
Which did give me a wee bit of fear, I have to say. If you've heard Gordon play, you'll know he's one of the UK's finest guitar players.
Yes.
And he joined me on stage and accompanied me on one of my own compositions, which was...
That's fantastic.
It was a real moment for me, it really was. But this weekend has been fantastic. This is now the Sunday, so it's wound down. There's only a few left. Just sitting down in the big room, and in the big room, it's downstairs. It's a gathering hall with tables all around the sides. And when I came in on Friday night, in fact, I arrived Friday, parked the car, sent you a message, or sent you a wee wave, thinking you were here and you hadn't arrived. And I was just wandering around saying, where did I go? And I met a guy out in the front steps having a fag. So, are you one of the guitar guys? I don't remember who it was, actually. Aye, I'm one of the guitar guys. I said, where is everybody? They said, oh, they're in the big room. I was like, what big room? Come and I'll take you. And I walked through and I looked in and I was like, it's just wall to wall, guitars all around the walls.
Yeah.
Such a fantastic selection of instruments. And they were sitting out there for the whole weekend.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone to go up and pick up and try, and it was a real treat, I have to say.
Yeah, we do like that part of the weekend, is that it's the best guitar shop in the world just for a couple of days.
Aye.
Okay, not everything's for sale, but you can try, and there's really no limitations or restrictions. Everyone's very open with their generous use of the instruments.
Yeah.
And I mean, if all the members bring 2 and 3 guitars each. I mean, some years we've had close to 100 instruments.
Yeah, there must have been close to that. 80,
it couldn't have been far away.
No.
And
even a banjo or two.
There was a banjo, but that was my fault. I take full responsibility.
I brought 3 with me this year as well, since I had the car. So
yeah,
I thought I would bring 3. And got to meet Bernd. He was probably one of our furthest travelled members.
Again, he's a long-standing member. And he's been coming since the second meeting.
Right.
So for 8 years, he's been travelling from, I think, Bremen in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Just driving over via France, ferry or tunnel, and up to Yorkshire.
Aye.
He loves it so much. And we've had a few. We had one a few years ago who came over from America.
Right.
She was a British woman, as a British woman, but she lives in America. But enjoyed the forum so much that... Yeah, she wanted to make an effort when she was over here to come along, and she spent the weekend with us.
Fantastic.
So,
have you got any dates in mind for HB10?
Well, we always like to hold it in the same sort of time. The dates aren't in stone, but it's generally the second last weekend of September, more or less.
And any plans for the 10th anniversary?
Not yet, but a few of us are going to meet at some point this year to take over something different for the 10th.
Aye.
Yeah, we have to do something a little bit special. But we've done lots of special things over the years.
Indeed. And if anybody's wanting to find out where it's happening and when, where would they go? Onto the Soundboard
Forum? The best place is onto the Soundboard Forum, yeah. Join as a member, it costs nothing. In fact, if you join, it takes the adverts away. It's completely free, there's no adverts. And get into the members section and there will be an announcement about it.
So that's acousticsoundboard.co.uk. Excellent. Well, thanks very much, Martin, for sitting down and talking with me this afternoon.
You're welcome.
We're going to pack up now and go and enjoy a wee spot of dinner.
Yes.
And then maybe a wee tune or two to finish the thing off.
Yeah, round off nicely.
Thanks for your time, Martin.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Cheers. Many thanks to Martin for sitting down with me and having that conversation. It was lovely to get to know him a bit better, and I'm already looking forward to the next gathering, which will be the 10th, an auspicious occasion. You should come along. I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun, and it's a very welcoming group. Also check out the Acoustic Soundboard Forum. It's at acousticsoundboard.co.uk. Again, it's a very welcoming group, and there's a ton of information on there from luthiers and from players. And there's also the Plucky Duck section where you can go along and share your own music and listen to music from the other participants. It's a great forum, highly recommended. You'll have heard us there referring to the handing over of Anthea, and that probably seemed a bit cryptic. We should have expanded on that during the interview, but I'll do that now. Anthea is a guitar that was built by the luthier Dave White. You'll hear him in a future episode, so he will explain the road trip phenomenon. But basically, he built this guitar and sent it out to the forum members for evaluation. Each member had it for about a month, and during that time, many of them would record audio and video and post that up on the forum just to give Dave some feedback and give him a chance to hear his guitar being played by many different people in many different styles. All of Dave's guitars have Gaelic names, which of course none of us can pronounce. This one was called Anfaquil. I have been practicing. None of us could pronounce that properly, so the guitar became known to us all as Anthea. Martin had that guitar prior to me, and we met at a coffee shop in Glasgow Central Station, where he handed it over to me for my custodianship. While I had it, I did record some videos, so you can look at my YouTube channel to check them out. It was a really sweet guitar. It's a fantastic project, I think, for luthiers, but also for us as players to get the chance to try something new. If you enjoyed the interview, please go into iTunes and give the show a rating. I'm trying to grow the channel. As you know, it's a fledgling channel, so I appreciate all the love that I can get. I'm also now posting on Instagram and on Facebook as Acoustic Guitar IO. So if you're on those platforms, come along and give me a like and a follow and share some of my content. That's really going to help me to get my stuff in front of other guitar fans, which will help me to produce more content. I'm also posting on the Steam blockchain. You'll find me there at steamit.com/acousticguitar. If you have any feedback for the show or any suggestions, you can find the website at acousticguitar.io. You can email me on cams@acousticguitar.io or hit me up on any of the social media platforms. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you all on the next one. Bye for now.